Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I am sitting here with...
I'm Darren Larson.
And...
I'm Tom Reagan.
Yeah, and we have been going through people. I keep saying this in weird ways. I keep starting the wrong way when I talk about this. But
I feel like you're doing good.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the affirmation.
No,
we don't have to.
Okay.
We've been spending time on the podcast listening to people's stories. And the reason for that is we are in the middle of a series that we've called The Word of Their Testimony. And that comes from... So Darren and Tom are pointing at each other because they don't want to talk about it. So I'll talk about it. That comes from Revelation 12, where it says the accuser of the brethren is overcome by the church, by the blood of the Lamb. That's the work of Jesus on the cross. That's his perfect life, death, and resurrection. And the word of their testimony.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Oh, cool. Well, you should have jumped on it.
Once again, I feel like you're doing great.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. I feel so affirmed.
Yeah.
It's the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. So that's, celebration of what the blood of Jesus has done in the lives of saints, and then also not loving their lives unto death. So that's a major changing of allegiance, and that is how the evil one is overcome. So we've heard stories, we've used the phrase trophies of God's grace. A lot. We've heard stories of all sorts of things, and we're going to do that again today because we also have a very
special guest.
See, Darren wanted to say it. We have a very special guest with us. Very special guest. Who are you?
I'm Sarah Voth.
Sarah Voth. Sarah actually got baptized a few weeks ago on Easter.
So good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So
good.
Easter was kind of fantastic. We had, how many people did we have get baptized? It was like 13, 16?
16, yeah.
16, folks.
16 people. Yeah, we had like one kind of spur of the moment, and that was... Yep. That was really special.
And then to hear little brief snippets of stories of people like Sarah's about why they chose to get baptized. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could share it more today. But
yeah.
Dude, it was awesome. Like,
I so wanted cool. to just stay all day and do that.
Yeah.
So, or leave the baptistry up for the next week. But Sarah, like, who are you? Where are you from? What's your deal?
What's your deal, Sarah?
What's wrong with you?
No.
And thank you for being here.
Usually it's kind of negative. Yeah. What's your deal? Tell us.
You know what he means.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, so you'd probably recognize my last name.
Yeah.
One of my brothers goes here, Aaron. He was just on the podcast.
He was.
Sweet.
I am the smallest Voth, both
the smallest.
In stature and age. Grew up around here and grew up in Woodinville.
Okay.
And just, I mean, really have only been coming to Imprint solidly for like 5 months since mm-hmm. January, really.
Okay.
Aaron was the one that invited me and my fiance, Reggie. So, grew up in a Christian home, grew up in the area. I've only been... The only time that I've spent out of this area, like Bothell Woodinville, is going to college in Bellingham. So very much like.
Where'd you go to college?
Western.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I know you. It's you and Aaron. And are there, how many other brothers and sisters are there?
There's the eldest Dan.
The eldest Dan. Yeah. We'll actually hear from Dan in a few weeks, I think.
Oh, nice.
I thought I heard that too, or I saw that on the schedule or something, which is cool.
We're going to rename this to the Voth.
Voth podcast. Yeah, yeah, it's
the
great.
The Vothcast.
Yeah. Gotta get us all. Yeah.
Get all you guys in.
The Vothcast. I like that.
That's nice.
That's really good.
Gotcha. So you said grew up in Woodinville. You grew up in a Christian home. What did that look like?
I mean, Aaron talked about it a little bit, but from my perspective, it was like... it was very much like church on Sundays, and especially in like elementary school, like Awana, we went to North Shore for a long time. But it also looked like discipleship group in high school, and I definitely knew of God and about Jesus, but it was more like that's mom and dad's thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And you know,
it's a thing your family does, like you go to the lake in the summer or something like that.
So my parents are going to listen to this, and that's not a hit on them at all. Like,
no,
it's not,
sure.
You know, they did a really good job raising us in a godly way. But just as a as a child being raised in that, it was like, that's the thing that we dress up for on Sundays.
Sure.
And yep. I absolutely despised getting dressed up. And like, as a kid, it was like dresses and tights. And it was like, that was my association with church, was just like, my family will tell a story about like one time at church, I ripped off my tights and started stomping on them because I was not
like a
it.
Basketball player. That's amazing. Maybe I might rip off their warm up pants.
Yeah. You know, like, they got right the tearaways. You get the tearaway tights. Yeah. You're like, nah. Yeah. Amazing.
That probably wasn't that smooth of a process.
Did you go to public school, private school, homeschool? What was the what was your experience like there?
Public school.
Okay.
I think my parents just felt like it was really important for us to be in the world, but not of the world. So I think that was a big part of why we, like my cousins went to private school. And it was always, not to hit on that at all, or homeschool, but it was always like, oh, those are the weird kids.
Yeah, totally.
I went to a Christian school, I can confirm.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't go to school, so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You're the weirdest
we
one.
Should, we should talk about that. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, so what was it like kind of growing up with friends? Did you have friend group in church, friend group in school? Did they overlap a little bit? Were you able to kind of, like, did you have a meaningful community that surrounded you when you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, it was very separate. It was like, those are my friends at school, those are my friends at church, and really only in high school, the Coles family from North Shore?
Oh, yeah.
Mark and...
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Heidi? Or, yes.
Holly.
Holly, yeah. Heidi. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
I can edit that out.
I've known her for a while.
I'm sure you will.
I can edit Heidi. That out.
Just a robot voice, Holly.
Yeah. Holly. That didn't sound like Darren.
Laurel.
Darren always told me he's a robot, so That's true. It's coming out.
Yep.
Anyway, Coles back family. To high school.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Anyways, their daughter McKenna is my same age. Yeah. And so that was the only overlap I had, was we both went to the same high school, but it wasn't like we were really friends. So it was like very separate. And I made that like, in my mind, it was like, those are supposed to be separate.
Huh. Got it. Yeah. So, okay.
Like intentionally, you're saying like, I don't want these worlds to overlap.
I think it was more of like putting on... Like, I put this persona on.
Gotcha. Yeah. Were you like a little bit of a chameleon? Like, okay, I'm around church people, so we're going to be this version of Sarah. And now I'm at school, I'm going to be this version of Sarah.
100%. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and that pretty much continued into like college as well. Like being who I was around, like fitting in. And only recently, like honestly, since the pandemic, it's only recently been where I'm like an open book, and it's like, whatever, like, this is who I am. This is, you know, I'm just way more like, ask me any question and I'll tell you, like, yeah. So.
Did you have growing up years like in Awana and things like that? Did you feel like you had a knowledge of the Bible? Did you feel like it was it ever meaningful to you to actually kind of think the scriptures are life-giving, or was it just kind of the book that they did at church?
Yeah, I think it was more just the book at church. And it's like, I grew up, like, I still have my first Bible, and it's got all the little tabbies that show the, it's got the artwork on the front and everything, and show all the books of the Bible. And it was more just like, if I ever read it, it would be like, flip open to a random page. And then that was like, you know, where I was, in quotes, like, led or whatever.
That's
but
the
it,
word of the Lord.
Yeah. It wasn't ever like... reading it in a meaningful way like I do now, where it's like asking the Lord to like guide me before I open his word. And
yeah,
it was definitely more just like, that's the thing we crack at church on Sundays and Tuesday nights.
And, yeah, and I get my vitamin if I need it, kind of with the opening point type thing.
I've seen in time and time again, without high school, junior high kids opening the Bible on their own and reading it, their spiritual life never comes alive, even if they're in church, even if they're part of the church. My wife's testimony is not her testimony, it's your testimony, but my wife's testimony is that her life didn't come alive in Christ really until she started reading the Bible. So have you felt that to be true as well? Like you're suddenly in God's word, and it's kind of helping you come alive towards the things of God?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think what really launched like a lot of growth was being in the word, and with... It was actually a family like Bible study that we did over like the kind of first part of COVID, where my mom's in California. And so we did Word Go.
Oh, yeah.
Through BSF.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'd do like Zoom every Wednesday and Bible study that way for a long time. I actually joined late because I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it was Aaron, Dan, my mom, and then Dan's girlfriend, Lauren.
So what amazing. About that experience? Like, why was that formative for you? Why was that impacting to you?
That was like, I mean, this is a little embarrassing now, but whatever. That was
only everyone's hearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My family and yeah, no, but
and seven other listeners.
There yeah, are dozens seven. Of us.
But that was like Bible study on Wednesday was like, that's my time in the Word. Like mm-hmm. that's my time with the Lord. And then the rest of the week is mine. And it was like, it was the reason I didn't want to join initially when I think Aaron and then also my mom invited me. I was like, I don't want to give up that time. Like that's my time mm-hmm. after work. Like I'm going to get off and then I have to spend time this way. It's like, I don't want to do that. And then it was like, but the more I was in the Word for Wednesdays and like preparing for that rather than like crash coursing it the hour or two before Bible study.
You're listening to the audio Bible on the way, way home.
Just like, oh man, I didn't do any of the questions. But the more I was like in the Word, the more it was like, okay. And then my mom offered to get us chronological Bibles, which I have never read the Bible like cover to cover. In order, in chronological order, or just the way that it comes. And so it was like, okay, yeah, like I'll start doing this. And then that kind of launched daily time in God's Word. And that has really, like, the Lord has been using that to grow not only my desire to spend time with Him in the Word, but also like serving the church and just learning about Him, like with practicum.
Can I ask you, amazing. Like, what... What did you encounter in your time in God's Word that was like, oh, wow, like aha moments, like I've never thought about this before, like things about God or things about the gospel story, like what was being illuminated in your understanding that you look back on now and go, oh, that was kind of impacting to me? Were there any specific things about like the nature of God, His work, His character?
I think it was... That was also an important time for me, just like in my life of like faithfulness, like God's faithfulness. Mm. And I think that like, especially when you like go through chronologically, like with Genesis and just watching how I would get upset because the Israelites are like, dude, like we're going like paragraph by paragraph where it's like they would promise these things and then they would just like immediately sin. It's like, we're going to make a golden calf. And it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, let's, you know, let's get it together. And it was like through that, not only seeing how the Lord continuously was faithful to them, even though they were unfaithful to Him so many times, but also like, that's me. I'm no better than that.
Yeah.
And like, just seeing that throughout the whole, like I'm now just hitting, Jesus's, like John, Matthew, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just hitting that in the chronological. I'm way behind, but in the chronological, it's like timed out by days. But anyways.
Yeah, you know. But yeah. There's nothing in the Bible saying you must read this entire book in one year. Can I back us up a little bit? I know you mentioned church, relationship with church, ripping off tights, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here we are years and years later, post-college, that kind of thing. What happened in between those things? Because you said you were involved in Awana. You said you were, you know, high school. I assume there was like some high school ministry, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that kind of seems that you were a bit disenchanted with, like the Bible or... was there a disenchantment with the church? What was your involvement like through high school, college, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say just also in the last couple of weeks, I've had the chance to like, you know, kind of ponder all this. And it's like, I really treated God like my boss, like the way that I hope my boss doesn't listen to this, but the way that I still kind of treat my boss where it's like, you have your job, I have my job. And like, let's keep things separate, like except for emergencies, like, don't Don't hover over me.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't check in on me.
I don't
me.
Need someone to micromanage.
Yeah, yeah, like, I got my job. You hired me for this. Like, we're separate. Mm-hmm. I'll see you at the Christmas party. Like, that type of thing. So that really continued, like, up until, like, 2 years ago.
Okay.
So that was kind of, like, why I wasn't super excited to be involved, because it was just like, like, you're managing your own thing, and I've got mine, and, like, we'll just leave each other to it. Yeah, and that did not work out well.
Where do you think that came from? Because obviously you were around the church, you were around the Bible, you were around people that were teaching the Bible, that kind of thing. Was it just sort of over saturation, or was it just kind of a wrong idea about what the Bible was for? Or
yeah, I think it was oversaturation a little bit, where it's just like, all right, like, I wasn't choosing it. It was being like, this is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a bit of that. Sorry, mom and dad. But also, I think it was just like a lack of understanding of like the relationship aspect. It was like, this is a checklist. Right. This is like how to live your life. It's like, and to be clear, like, no one was telling me that. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that's just how I interpreted it, of like, yeah, it was more like check the boxes, and I would just like wasn't really interested in doing that.
Isn't it funny how we internalize stuff that like isn't necessarily said? Where, because there is this, the common thing is like, well, the Bible's a list of rules and you better follow them, or the micromanager is going to get you, or something like that. And, you know, I don't think 95% of churches, or 98% of churches maybe even, that teach the Bible don't teach the Bible that way. But a lot of people walk away from the Bible understanding that, or walk away from an experience growing up in church thinking that. And so now you kind of understand the Bible as one story that leads to Jesus. I mean, that seems to have kind of changed everything. And so you said that started 2 years ago, started the pandemic, or around the pandemic, or
I mean, so if I can back it up a little bit,
sure,
just to give some more context.
Can I cut you off one quick second here too? I apologize, but I, you know, and you said, sorry, mom and dad, you said that twice. I it's so interesting. Like, I've seen the strongest Christian parents and raise their kids in church and all that kind of stuff, and it's so little control over that, you know. So like,
you can do all the right things.
You can do all the right things and stuff like that. So I feel like, I bet your parents are super proud just to say, like, man, the Lord is faithful to us, faithful to you. So I know your parents a little bit, so I bet you they're not like, oh, I'm super bummed about this. I bet they're rejoicing. So I just wanted to throw that out there in case your parents listening. I'm sure they will.
Darren, you're so affirming today. It's great. I love it.
I wanted to say that. So you got to back up. You were going to say back up. So I want to hear what you're going to say here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it was like sixth grade when my parents got divorced, and that was the kind of time where it was like, okay, I saw that I could help. Like, even as a child, it was like, I can help, like, not manage emotions, but just like, there's things that I can do to make my mom feel better, things that I can do to make my dad feel better, like, where they're both like clearly emotionally struggling, and just kind of took on this role of like, that's my job, is to like help people feel better. And I think that, I started to take that, now what I see as a gift from God, I started to take that way further outside of a relationship with him, where it became detrimental, where it was like, I was carrying things on my shoulders that like, I should never have been like putting on myself, to the point where like, after college, it got to, and I have Dan's permission to talk about this, but my eldest brother Dan came to us and was just like, I need to go to detox. Like, I'm really struggling with alcohol. And at that point, it was like, okay, yeah, like, let's do that. That sounds good. And none of us understood like the depth of addiction at that point.
You know he had a problem?
No. It was like, yeah, like, we, you know, all of us, like the three siblings, was like, yeah, we'd hang out and drink, but it wasn't like clearly, at least to me, like from my viewpoint, it wasn't a problem. It was like, okay, yeah, if you feel like you need help, like, let's do that. And then that really launched like 2 or 3 years of like really a roller coaster, where it was like, I was left feeling like absolutely hopeless and helpless, because it was like, my job is to like help. Nothing I can do to help him. And that was just like displayed over and over again, where it was like, my continuous thought during that time was like, if he would let me like manage his life, like let me manage this, let me take care of things. And it was just like, I can't, he doesn't want me to, that's not right. I know that, but it's like, that was my desire. And then, it just hit a point of like total, just at the end of the pit where it was like, he called me from the emergency room and I had to turn him away because he wasn't willing to go to detox. And, I just sat on this. It was after a comedy hour that my fiance had put on. Like, I had left a little bit early to take this phone call. And afterwards I was just sitting on the sidewalk crying because it was just like, I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is how life is going to go, if this is how life is going to be where I'm going to watch my brother die, like, I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And the very next day I told my parents, I was like, I need to go to therapy because it wasn't like I had a plan. But it was like, I'm having those feelings like very seriously. And I need help. Like, I can't do anything to help him. Clearly, I'm not doing well helping myself. And I went to a Christian counselor who, she was super patient with me. She was just, because at that time, I still wasn't seeking the Lord. I was, like, trying to do it on my own. And I was like, therapy will help me, like, talk it out with someone outside of the family. That'll be great. And she was super patient with me and continuously pointing towards the Lord's goodness throughout our sessions. And in the midst of that was really when there's just a day, my mom has it written down in her Bible, but I rededicated my life. I was like, Lord, I'm tired of carrying things that I'm not supposed to carry. And I just need you to take my life. And you need to run things because I can't.
Wow.
So.
Did you feel like there were, before this, was this simply the Lord getting a hold of your life? Or do you feel like there were some kind of mental health things that were going on in your life at some point there as well? Or was this just an experience that that you felt helpless and then you kind of needed to get some help from that out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think there was some mental health stuff in college. Like if you can't tell already, I have problems with control, like control freak. So in college that played itself out with, like not eating, like I, you know, not a full blown eating disorder, but I would like, that's how I could control things is like, I wouldn't eat, control my weight or like, seeking out relationships, like to the point where looking back now, it's like, dude, that clearly was not like, if you had to chase that was not, you know, so just really like grasping to control things while I was in college and like becoming an adult where it was like, looking back, like I said, it's just like very clearly not meant for me. And the Lord put like warnings for me that I like completely ignored.
Yeah.
So I think there's like leading up to and when Dan kind of told us about needing to go to rehab was post college. So it was like, you know, all of this stuff happening in college and then hearing that was like, that was kind of like everything had been building to that point where, like I said, just carrying burdens that I shouldn't have been carrying. So
yeah. And it seemed like the Lord in some ways used that to get a hold of your life too.
Yeah.
Because here you are saying like, I need to surrender some of that stuff or give that up. You know, it's cool. Well, can I ask, I know this is kind of a private question, but you just said you're an open book. So what was Christian counseling like? I mean, what was that experience like to go in there and, you know, tell us about your sessions? I just want to know like, how did it go for you? Like, what was the highlights of that? What was hard about it?
Yeah, I mean, the first one, honestly, I got in there, I sat down, and she asked me to kind of, like, why am I there? And I just started sobbing, like, super hard. And then I was like, I'm sorry, you know, anyways. But, so basically it was, she would, like, I would just kind of talk, share things that were on my heart, like, what I was going through, and then she would kind of show me where, like, my thinking was, I don't want to say like not right. She would just kind of show me where it's like, you're thinking about things in like a worldly way, like showing me where God was and reminding me like continuously when I would start to kind of trail off into, like I can't control all these things, like just reminding me of God's sovereignty and his love for me and like his faithfulness. And that was over, I met with her for quite a while. I'd say at least a year pretty regularly. So it was a really positive experience. I would also say that I have a special place in my heart for Christians who feel like they can't seek help or like pray it away type of thing.
Totally.
That really bothers me. Right? Yeah. It's like, I absolutely know the Lord is sovereign. He can take things away and, you know.
That's why I asked. I mean,
yeah,
I was like, man, this is amazing. Like, to be able to share that story is a gift, because I think people need to recognize that. Like, that's a lot of times we can't do it on our own, right? That's the whole Christian message anyway.
Yeah. Like, it's like God could sustain your body, but he also has provided some food to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he could immediately touch your life and soul and heal everything instantly in an answer to prayer. But he's also put wise Christian people out there who know how to help people process things. Yeah. So it sounds like that was beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Totally. My mom always told a story of, you know, she went on a short-term mission trip once. She had a friend who went on a short-term mission trip to Africa one time. And, you know, going through training, getting ready, that kind of thing. The thing they say over and over again, okay, we're going to a remote place, so don't drink the water on its own. You can drink it with the filter. It'll be fine. Like, use the filter and you can drink the water. It'll be fine. And that was like the thing that they drilled in a whole lot. And there was a guy who went on the trip and, you know, just leans over, starts filling up his water bottle out of the river. And the guy who's leading the trip is like, hey, remember we're supposed to use the filter. And he said, oh, God will protect me. And the guy said, with the filter.
With the filter.
So that awesome. That reminds me of that. You're right, though. Like, God in his sovereignty.
He pointed him in the direction of the outhouse.
Yeah, so, seriously. God in his sovereignty, though. You know, we forget God uses people.
Yeah.
You know, like, we expect often, like, the holy moment of God touching us and everything being taken away. But we forget that the Spirit of God lives in other believers, and God uses people to help us and along the way. He uses people to push us along in sanctification or in healing or whatever.
Say were some of the main things that were changing about the way that you were thinking. So in Romans 12, it says we're to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, or the renewing of our minds. It sounds like you were going through a renewing process. Like, what were the things that you felt or think now, look back and go, oh, I can see how my mind was being renewed in that time?
I think one of the main ways, especially going through everything with Dan, was just like the Lord created this family, him, me, and he will take care of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that's like, yeah, that's the definition of sovereignty, but
basic,
like,
yeah.
it was a really basic concept that I had to like totally rework, where it was like, I knew that I couldn't help him, but like, there's no hope in that. Like, that was the hopeless feeling of like, I can't do anything. The hope came when it was like, the Lord created him. He had him in mind before the earth existed. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lord had plans for Dan before anything. And he had plans for each of us that, you know, we couldn't even imagine. But it's like knowing that nothing could take Dan from this earth other than the Lord. Like, that was a really big shift in thinking, where it was like, yeah, there's going to be really scary things, and it might be that the Lord calls him home. Like, that might happen, but it won't be because, oh, the Lord was looking to the left, and Dan was on the right.
Sarah didn't do a good enough job protecting
him. So it was like, you know, nothing can happen where it's like, oh, shoot, like, I left Dan.
So it sounds like what's being rearranged or transformed in your thinking was your own limited sovereignty, if you will, like your own limited power of control over things. And is that not the story of humanity when we talk about like the sin in the garden of walking away from God and wanting to be autonomous? We want to seize control over things. Now, God does give us control. We have agency, and it's not just let go and let God. It's within God's way of operating in the universe. Like, he gives us a certain amount of control. And so there is an appropriate amount of control, mm-hmm. or I guess involvement that you have in your brother's life that's healthy and that's right. Yeah. But it's kind of like a coming alongside of and not vice gripping life, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Definitely.
How was your college experience? Like, what was it like being up in Western, and what do you see God's sovereignty in that time of your life too?
Yes. I would say my time was great. I loved it. Good. But yeah.
What did you do, by the way? What's your degree?
Environmental policy, hey. Which I have not used other than to say, hey, I got a degree. But it was great. I think I walked pretty far away from the Lord during that time, where it was like I found different things that was like, I'm going to fill myself up with this. Like, mm-hmm. and part of that was like going out and drinking and, pursuing relationships that weren't godly. And, looking back now, it's like, I am just so thankful for the Lord's patience, his patience and again, his sovereignty, where it was like, there are nights where it's like, I can't believe I made it home. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I was like, that was really stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, I walked home from the bar at night by myself. Mm-hmm. And, it's Bellingham, so it's like, oh, you know. But at the same time, you know, there's just things where it's like, he was so patient with me. He gave me warning signs. Huh. And I ignored them. But, I can remember distinctly, sitting at a table like this in a bar. And it was like, there's, 10 other people that I had put together this group to go out. And I sat there and just felt so lonely. Mm-hmm. My heart sank because it was like, I've mm-hmm. never felt like this. Like, mm-hmm. why do I feel so lonely? And I actually a month ago had a conversation with my mom where she was like, that's what it feels like to not be with God. Mm-hmm. you know, that's when you're far from the Spirit. Like, that's what that can feel like, mm-hmm. is loneliness. And I was mm-hmm. like, whoa, mm-hmm. that's like. That totally clicks. Yeah. Mm. Like, I was very far from God at that time in my heart and my life, and, you know, just feeling super lonely, even though I was with friends and I still have friends, but that was a time where I had just in college, you have a lot of friends.
Totally.
And just totally empty. So
longing in the heart for something that's not there. Yeah. That's crazy. So you got baptized recently. Talk to us about that. Why did you get baptized, and what was the thinking behind that? And
interestingly enough, not that my whole story is wrapped up with Dan, but just there's a lot of intersections.
The Lord uses things in our lives.
Yeah.
I hear your story right now. I'm like, man, what an amazing. He probably didn't even know that his story was impacting your story.
Yeah.
And to hear that the Lord used that in His sovereignty is pretty cool. So
But I was just going to say, in terms of baptism, actually last year, we both had been attending Canyon Hills Community Church, and separately heard either the pastor or whoever speaking about baptisms. And we both separately, the Spirit was like, you should get baptized together. Like, you and Dan should get baptized. And so he brought it up to me, and I was like, oh, I had that same thought. That's cool. And then it was like, we told our family, and then they were like, yeah, that's awesome. And especially Aaron was like, yeah, you guys should do it. And then it was like, I'll just
maybe later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. There's no rush. And it was also coming from a fear of getting up in front of a huge, mm-hmm. Canyon Hills.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like, I just was nervous to get up and talk in front of that many people. And so it was like, we'll save that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you guys were talking about getting baptized on Easter, and I was like, yeah, all right. It finally, you know, the Lord brought me to a place where I was like, okay, I'm still nervous to do it. Don't know how I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but I'm at a place where I want to just confess my faith and take that step. Mm. And then one of the first things I did was I called Dan, and I was like, hey, I know we talked about this last year. I don't want you to have any sore feelings about me doing this. But I just feel like I'm being led. And he was like, nice. Yeah, me too. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, so then when I met with McGregor, he was like, oh yeah, Dan and Lauren are going to want to do the same service as you. And I was like, cool. All right. So like the Lord, even last year, was like working on our hearts to bring us to Easter. So
that was pretty cool. That was a cool celebration moment to see the family. Yeah. Yeah. I saw your dad afterwards and had tears in his eyes. Yeah. And I was just like, man, that's a cool moment right there. So what a cool thing to see the redemption of kind of lives and your children. And
it seems like, it seems like the Lord was chasing down the Voth children, you know, in a big way. And it's been cool. It's been cool to see faithfulness in that and for us to get to hear and experience part of that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, what is God calling you to right now, Sarah? Like what's on your path in front of you?
What's your deal?
What's your deal? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to live that down.
Yeah.
I mean, so right now it is one of the biggest lessons is again, just using my gifts for His glory. I'm working with Kathy Boone, on setting up the Saturday Night Inn.
So cool.
Event, hopefully events.
Yeah.
For Imprint.
Plural.
Thank you. That's so cool. Yeah, so.
Tell us about that. What is that?
Oh, man.
Free plug.
I wish Kathy was here. So it's basically just an opportunity for parents with an imprint to come. And if they've got kids that just require some extra attention, can't have, you know, just anybody come babysit, it's a chance for them to come and have fellowship on a Saturday night at Imprint. Where there's folks that are trained to help take care of their kids, you know, fostered kids, adopted, kids on the spectrum.
So
and
cool.
While the adults have time for fellowship and just learning together about how to better care for their children, we're also going to have the kids do like a meaningful, one of the ideas that we have is to, I work for Seattle Cancer Care Alliance, we can talk about that, but...
She's pointing at me because that's where I got treated for radiation.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners, I couldn't see you pointing at me.
Sorry. Yeah. One of the ideas is to have the kids fill out like cards or like do drawings or something that I can take to work and give out to patients. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
As like a gift kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really great.
Yeah, while they're going through treatment.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What do you do at SCCA?
So I'm a patient care coordinator. Okay. I work in the sarcoma department.
Okay.
So, I support a couple doctors and their patients and help get them set up from day one to, you know, hopefully last day of treatment. So it's like scans, infusions, all that stuff.
Yeah. Is that a tough job?
Yes.
Is it a rewarding job?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Lord totally has used that in the last, I've been there almost 3 years.
Okay.
And He has taught me so much through that job where it's like, again, I'm not in control. And also He will provide everything for these
patients.
Seems
like there's a theme in your life, Sarah. I don't know.
Yeah. Get it tattooed on my forehead. Yeah.
I think all of us could use that tattoo, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
I say that as a joke because I'm like, that's relatable. That's totally relatable.
Yeah.
You see the Lord using you in your job, like out of curiosity? Is that something you're like, man, this is something I'm supposed to be doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, and the funniest part about that is actually right now, I've been looking for a new job for like almost a year. and door keeps getting closed. Like I'll get an interview and it's just like, they'll either never get back to me or it'll be like, yeah, we went with someone else. And it's like, oh man, I'm qualified, like please. And at the same time, it's just like realizing... And like my mom has helped me look back on the past couple of years of just like, do you see how much the Lord has like grown your faith in Him and your trust in Him? And like the experiences that I get to like, if there's patients that are struggling, like all I do is talk to them over the phone. Like I've only met like 2 of the patients and I help care for like 150 plus.
Wow.
So it's like getting to know them through the phone.
Yep.
But then like they're really struggling or they're not doing well. And then just like taking a moment to like pray for them. And So.
And in addition to all the growth happening there, I think about this. If the Lord gave you what you asked for right away, every time you asked for it, how much would your faith actually grow? It grows a lot more when day after day, you come back to him and you're like, my trust is in you, Lord, help me. He stretches us. I mean, faith, they say like faith is a muscle. It has to be like, and it has to face some resistance in order for it to grow. And we would treat God more like a mechanism, a vending machine. If we just press the button, the prayer button, and the outcomes dispenses the blessing, you know, and there would be less relationship there, I think.
Yeah.
And he's developing trust in you and relationship and showing you his care for you as a father and you as his daughter, you know, as you wait on him. So keep waiting on him.
Yeah.
Like, he'll come through.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, you guys were talking about, I mean, several times but on the podcast about patience and like how you pray for like, Lord, please give me patience, but nobody.
The actual thing, patience.
Yeah. Like nobody wants to walk through the experiences. Yeah. And I was like, dang, that's right. All right. Like, because every day before I start my day, I just spend time praying where it's like, Lord, give me patience, like all these things. And it's just like, ever since I heard you guys say that, I was just like, oh, yeah.
Dang. Uh-oh.
Dang.
Here it comes. And you're engaged, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Like, what's next steps for you in life together? Like, is there plans for that?
Yeah. That's a really, I don't know how much time we have.
Oh, you got a few minutes left. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You're like, I got a real long
story. I blocked
story
out till 7 p.m. I got a few more hours I can be here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, but so I've been dating my fiance Reggie for 4 years. We got engaged back in November, and he actually came to Christ 2 months ago after one of the services that Tom was preaching.
That's awesome.
About the resurrection. So that was really cool.
Boom.
That's
did you know that?
No.
It was, he didn't tell me until Good Friday. So.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that.
This has been my story at Imprint Church all my life. People come up to me later and say, I met Jesus, you know.
3 years ago.
3 years ago. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, I'm in the world. So, this is.
No, he didn't talk to, just in case you're like, he didn't talk to you.
No, that's fine. Okay. I'm just like kind of tearing up a little bit. That's amazing.
Yes.
So, I mean, 2 years ago was when I rededicated my life to the Lord. And ever since then, it was like, I knew that I wanted to marry Reggie, but also knowing that the Lord calls us to be equally yoked. And I was like, oh, man, okay. So first of all, the original thought was we should have gotten married before that so that I didn't have to deal with this, which is so selfish.
All the complications.
Yeah.
Where's my loophole?
Oh, technicality.
But just been praying for him ever since then, where it was like, you know, I feel like there's an initial stage where all you're doing is praying for yourself. When you first come to the Lord, at least that was how it was for me, where it was like, just like, Lord, help me get through this. Help me grow. Help me, you know, help me. And now then it pivoted to, Lord, please help Reggie to come to know you. And he did. And there were points where I was like, man, I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe we're just going to be dating forever or what, you know, whatever. And then when we got engaged, there was both joy and like this moment of like, oh, like I'm called to marry someone that's a believer. And what am I going to do? Like my prayers were literally like, Lord, I'm asking you to like, I'm asking if he's one of your chosen children, like if he is, I'm asking that you would make him one, you know, like, I don't know if that was written in your plan, but please like put it in because he is the one that I want to marry. And I feel like I would talk to my mom about it and be like, everything is it like, he's my best friend. I'm so comfortable with him. Like we just love spending time together. We make each other laugh. And it's like, everything is there. The one missing piece, which is the most important one, is his relationship with Christ. And so it was like, Mom, I don't know what to do, you know? And so we got engaged in November. And I was like, just keep praying. And Aaron, actually, he was like, so what are you going to do if he doesn't come to Christ? Like, you're just going to stay engaged forever? And I was like, maybe. I don't know, you know? Like, we'll see. I'm trusting in the Lord because, like, he allowed all these things. He allowed this relationship. He allowed the engagement. And, like, not, you know, anyways. But so just continually praying about it and just trying to, like, point out in our family, especially, like, isn't that so cool the way that the Lord has transformed Dan or Aaron? Like, trying to, you know.
And he saw this,
Yeah. So, and then I kept joking, which was really funny to Reggie. I was like, I feel like, cause we had conversations about it And then I'd be like, I feel like if you do make that decision, you're just not going to tell me for like a while. And then he was like, yeah, yeah. And then on Good Friday after service, we're like driving to Hagen. And I was like, I noticed that you took communion. Huh. And I was like trying to be really like
really cool about it.
Well, yeah, like careful and like, yeah, I don't want to like correct you in any way, but Imprint makes it pretty clear that that's like a step for believers. And he was like, I wasn't planning on telling you this, but I came to Christ last month and I was just like in the Hagen parking lot, just like in the car, sobbing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like we prayed together just in Thanksgiving where it was like this awesome moment. And my mom was in town for Easter Sunday for the baptisms and he wasn't comfortable sharing it with anyone else yet. And so I was like, holding on to like all of this joy the whole weekend.
Amazing.
Like the next day I was like continuously just like, Lord, keep my mouth shut, keep my mouth shut. Yeah, I can't share anyways. But so now I got his permission to share.
Oh man.
Well.
That's awesome.
He's also
That's awesome.
We gotta talk him into getting baptized.
Reggie, let's get baptized. That'd be awesome. I just met him on Sunday. It was cool to say hi to him. So I'm grateful. What a cool story. Yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that with us. That's a gift. Yeah.
That was super meaningful. Thank you.
So what's Hedy, what's you guys' plan next? So, do you have a date on the calendar for the marriage and all that stuff now? Because now you can.
Now the door's open. Yeah. No.
We could put Reggie's baptism on the same day as the wedding. Kill two birds with one stone.
I'm sure that's what they'd want.
I'm sure they would love that. And jump in there without tux. Get in there.
No, we don't have a date yet. Now it's just kind of praying about like next steps. And like, I made it very clear before before he came to Christ, where it was like it can't be that the reward is us getting married. Mm-hmm. Like you coming to Christ does not equal immediately. Yeah, like next weekend, let's go down to the courthouse.
I'm not the carrot here.
It's like
life in Christ is.
I had to be really careful about that. Cause it was like, I can't, like they were very much connected, but it was like, just had to make that clear where it was like,
I see a lot of wisdom in you, Sarah. I'm thinking about that. Like, much of the stuff that you're saying, like, wow, she's really thought through a lot of things. And I think that's evidence of God's grace in your transforming the renewing of your mind. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wow.
Well, even watching you absorb these lessons that the Lord continually tries to teach you, it seems like, and tries to teach us all. Like the thing I think about you when Tom said that word, it's like you're willing to learn those things, like a teachability. And maybe that's the wisdom that comes. It's like there's a willingness to listen and go, okay, Lord, you're trying to work patience in me.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow you to do that, even though it's a scary prayer or whatever, like because I'm thick-headed or pig-headed or whatever it might be. I relate to that one, right? You know, it's like, I'm going to let the Lord speak into my life and change me and transform me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super cool, man. Well, Sarah, what is, you know, we've talked about what's happened in the past a little bit. What's in a more like micro sense, what has God been showing you? What has God been teaching you in the past, like past little bit? I know we talked about like, him showing you a need to give up control in the past and, you know, falling back in love with his word. But what's he been teaching you in the past, you know, past year, past weeks, even
5 minutes,
past 5 minutes.
Yeah. I would say that is twofold. One of the things is, to wait. I'm a huge, like, I think it and then I do it type of person, sometimes to my own detriment. But just to like prayerfully come to him and like lay things at his feet. And when it's time, if it is ever time for whatever that thing is, like he will reveal that and then I can move forward. But like with the new job or like marrying Reggie, where it's just like, you need to be patient and like, I will bring these things for your good and my good timing. So that's been a huge thing in the past year or so. And then actually most recently, just talking about like gifts from God, I realized... Okay, well, let me rephrase that. I had a revelation from the Lord like 2 weeks ago. I'm surprised I didn't cry today, honestly. Like that is how I process emotion. Happy, sad, angry, tears. I've always hated that about myself, where it was like, I'm frustrated that I cry because I can't speak while I'm crying and then I can't communicate.
Yeah.
And no one else is crying. I'm the only one crying. And it's like not necessarily like a crybaby thing, but it's just like I can't effectively communicate when I'm doing that. And I've always been frustrated by that. And it's, you know, Anyway, so a couple weeks ago, we were as a family away for a weekend. Aaron was sharing a story, and he just had said something that moved me to tears because I was imagining what it would have been like for him in that moment to only be able to like think about something. Anyways, I don't want to tell his story, but just he was experiencing anxiety.
Yeah.
And I was tearful, and it was like my whole family in the room, like my uncle and his kids, my grandpa, and everyone's looking at Aaron. And I was like, just crying and trying not to like sniffle because it was like, no one else is crying. Like, why? And I couldn't stop. And so, you know, I went to bed that night and it was like, I felt alone in that. I was like, why do I have to process things that way? Like, I'm just alone in that. And then the Lord immediately, when I said in my head, I was like, I feel alone in this. The Lord was like, Sarah, if you are crying over things, if you are feeling empathetic for someone else, like, how much more does my heart weep for that person?
Wow.
Like, he just, he shifted my perspective 180 degrees where it was like, that's not something to hate about myself. That's a gift from him to feel for other people to the depth of tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So. That's a helpful.
That's really cool.
Not revelation. Everyone, I was gonna say, not everyone has that gift of empathy or whatever. That's cool. It's super cool. And I'm sure it was meaningful even to him to share a story like that and have a sister. I love that your family's close. Like, you feel that in your story. Like, that's something, especially the siblings. It seems like you guys have something there, which is super cool.
You all seem, again, you all seem kind of to be involved in each other's stories of redemption. And I think that is such a blessing. That is such a cool thing to see. It's such a cool heritage to have, to be able to point back at. And especially on this side of it, you know, talking a lot about God's sovereignty, but of seeing the way that, you know, your story intersects with Aaron's and with Dan's, and it's all together, and God brings it out on the other side, and it's just redemption and glory. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a huge blessing. And I said earlier, it's a blessing to see it to continue to unfold. So
you're all up in each other's deals.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know? Hey, what's your deal, Tom?
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, thank you for your vulnerability. Yeah, thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. This is super cool.
Yeah.
Know your story. Yeah. What a gift.
Seriously a gift. If you,
I was going to say, maybe the reason that you didn't tear up is because the Lord was going to have you communicate, like get a microphone. Because I'm like you, when I get annoyed at myself, like, because if I get emotional, I can't vocalize, I can't talk very well. But there are people who can like give their testimony or speak through tears, and like, wow, their voice actually is working. Like, mine doesn't really work. So I'm with you on that. I'm not as empathetic as you, but I'm with you on, you know, the not being able to speak thing.
Yeah.
May the Lord make me more empathetic.
I've had those moments where I've been emotional, like up front when I'm on stage, and I have to stop, and I just stop and stop speaking. And I'm like, this is awkward, but if I start talking, I'm going to sound horrible, you know, like it's brutal.
I will say, it's always, you don't do that very much, and when you do, it's a powerful thing.
So it catches me off guard.
It catches us off guard. Like, everyone's like, Dad doesn't cry. What's happening?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, that was a joke. But no, seriously, if you have any questions for us, any questions for Sarah, or you're interested in sharing a story, just reach out to us. Podcast, that's singular.
Or if you happen to become a Christian recently and you haven't told
anyone. Yeah, you haven't told us.
Reggie.
No, I'm just kidding. We're super pumped for Reggie. If you have any questions, just reach out, podcast@imprintchurch.org. Anything you want us to forward on to Sarah. But we will see you next week with another story of God's grace.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.